Joe DeFalco in the ring, raising up the future. Got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the might. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night. Every step, every fight, honing skills tight.
Future stars, destined for the fame. In the ring, they'll carve their name. Blood, sweat, tears, the unending game.
Joe DeFalco's legacy, they proudly claim. Body slammers and high flyers, stars on the rise, taking flights off the ropes to the skies, arm locks, heads.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the Falco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, happy 17th, and you're on the road to 18th.
On the road, I'll tell you, it was a rough one to get through. I'll tell you that.
It was first off a really good show. You know, I think there were a lot of things we saw that I don't think fans expected. Let's jump right in and say we got two new champions. We'll talk a little bit about the FSW championship in a little bit, but, you know, Hiro or Sam Liu is no longer holding the Nevada State title.
No, he is not. We did an open challenge, and Bret the Threat came out, and it looked like we were going to get that match once again. And, you know, a lot of people expected it because Bret cut a promo, and he said, I'm coming out. And Andrew Delgado took offense. Here's a guy who's been, and I guess some cases you could say underutilized, and, you know, he wrestles all over, and it's just, you know, tough getting spots. And yep. He took an opportunity and felt, hey, you know what? I'm putting my name in there, Bret the Threat. You know, you came back from California, and you've been gifted two opportunities to be the Nevada State champion. Why should you get a third? So now we were in a predicament as they got into the ring. Shogun decided to come out and even the odds. And I think a lot of people thought at that point when Chris Bate came out, he was going to set up a tag team match. TBD, former tag team champions. And he's like, you know what? We had an open challenge. I see three guys in the ring and San Lu. Let's get it on. And, you know, there was a point in the match where Shogun fell. Hey, you know what? I'm here to win the match too. You know, he may be my boy, but business is business. And, you know, that's part of the reason why San Lu's no longer the Nevada State champion.
Right. And it was good to see Bret the Threat win a title.
Yeah, homegrown talent. You know, he decided to leave the nest for a while. He's working in Best of the West and worked some, you know, good companies out there. The one with Chris Hiro, I forget, something West Coast Pro.
Yeah, West Coast Pro, yeah.
And, you know, hung out with his boys, the Suavecitos. They got him in. And we've always said, you know, we expect you to get out there. We expect you to work places. Maybe not working five shows in Vegas is really going to be beneficial, but getting out there, and that's what these guys did. And Bret the Threat came back with a different sense, got on Natural Born Killers, got a good opportunity there. And, you know, he's looking forward to this. You know, he's put together a little group in the Fight Club. Gabe Rocha, who has looked tremendous. Colin Muldoon, who really, really has gotten a lot better under those guys' tutelage. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to see. Bret the Threat will be at the 4th of July show, Liberty Mayhem, that we're going to do with the school. Everybody who has bought a ticket to the HyperX Arena 17th anniversary show, you get a free general admission ticket. We expect one of the biggest FSW arena shows of the year, you know, next week, July 4th, 5 p.m. So, you know, we got a lot of people on hand, WWE ID talent. This is just the start. We just wanted to get the flyer out. We got the heavyweight champ. We got the Nevada State champ. We got the No Limits champ. We got the former champ, Ice Williams. And we got WWE ID's Veronica Haven. I was trying to put together a match where she was going to challenge Zamaya for the women's championship, but Zamaya is unavailable for that event. But she will be at the 25th at the HyperX.
Excellent. Speaking of heavyweight champions, here we go.
Speaking of heavyweight champions,
look at that!
Look at that little goatee with the little you know, little hair. Know. I'm like, oh,
how you guys doing?
He knocked Bateman. He knocked Bateman's hair chin off right onto his face, man. That
I know,
is,
right?
Damn,
transfer of the century.
Listen, Bodie, first, congratulations, of course.
Thank you so much.
Knows you are extremely proud of you getting to this point. It's pretty evident if you go back and you look at your evolution, right? Not just your in-ring style, the talent, putting things together in your head, understanding, learning, all that stuff, but the development of going from being a kid, starting in a kid's class, to being the heavyweight champion. That is something. And Joe, has anyone else done that?
Well, Sandra Moon became a women's champion with us. But right. FSW heavyweight champion is, you know, that's the holy grail. You know, we've talked about what that legacy of being the heavyweight champion is. We had a run where it was Cross, L.A. Knight, Brian Cage, Chris Bay, Hammerstone. You know, you're talking the guys where that's the stamp of future stars of wrestling, where these guys, you know, you are going to see them in even bigger platforms. And, you know, he didn't get a chance, but he was the Nevada State champion, you know, Solo Sikoa, and women's champion, you know, Zoe Stark, now Zoe Serrano, who will be at our show August 22nd. But the thing is, there is importance in becoming the heavyweight champion, even all champions. Like, I have to see something in you, like, you know, but the heavyweight championship, man, that's something that really you sit and think about, and you want to make sure that the right person's in the right spot. And here, you know, even now, it's like I laugh every time I see the video, and it's Bodie when he was like just starting, and he just did like his little 450 onto the crash pad. And still in my mind, I always see the yeah, like the little kid. And it's like to see where he comes, because, you know, you see other people come in and you see Bodie kind of like, you know, running the show, talking to these guys, what we're looking for in the match. And he really knows how to put together things because he has had this opportunity working with guys like Kenny King and training with them and Chris Bay and Ice and all these guys, where Bodie at 14 or 15 in Remy Marcel and being in the ring with these guys who didn't treat him just like this little kid. You know, they treated him like a wrestler, like, oh shit, this guy's fucking good. You know, I'm getting calls, you know, Danny Limelight, he wants to run it back. You know what I mean? And it's like, how many people, you know, want to work with Bodie? You know, and I've seen the posts from guys like Danny and other people talking about, you know, where he was. And I even see the pictures. And it's like, you know, at that point, Bodie was probably maybe 16, And it's like, people don't realize when he beat Danny Limelight at the Silverton, he was 16 years old.
Yeah, Bodie, just to talk a little bit about that evolution from going, you know, from being in a kid's class, evolving to getting those opportunities within the past 3-4 years to, you know, getting to where you are now. What was that like for you to take that journey?
When I first started the kids class, I think I was just having fun, but unknowingly I was getting prepared for the adult class. I was getting prepared for shows. I was having fun with the crash pad and whatnot, but little by little I was learning all of the skills I needed to apply in the future. So when I came to the adult class, of course it's like, oh, you know, how's this going to go? But, you know, I was more than excited to jump into the adult classes, dive in and sit under the learning tree of guys like Remy Marcel, Kenny King. And over time, it became not so much, obviously, have fun, but it's about you have something special and we want you to be prepared because it's going to get difficult and the waters are going to get rough. But if you're a good sailor, however the phrase goes, I just said random words. So over time, I get put in these, I get thrown into the deep end, and it's a testament to me if I can swim or if I need little floaties. So working with guys like Limelight for the No Limits Championship, getting in the ring with Chris Bay, most recently Leo Rush, Brian Cage, I think it's interesting to see my evolution, to see how I never once took a step down or felt the need to step out of the picture. I always kept moving up and moving forward, and it paid off.
Well, what are those testaments to that progression? And I think this is one of the things that a lot of guys, you know, Joe and I have said this time and time again. It's one of the only places that you can walk in and see Zoe and Matt, and you got Tom Howard outside the ring watching it. You got Chris Bay watching it. You got all these people. And one of the things that every single one of them says about you is that you're a sponge. You listen to what's being told to you. You process it in your mind. And then you go out and you try to execute that to make yourself better. And that, Joe, I mean, how many people really does that take, you know, once that clicks, and some guys, it might take 10 years for that to click. But here, when you say young prodigy, it's not bullshit. It literally shows how he's a prodigy at absorbing everything that's around him and offered to him.
Well, you know, we go back to Diversion Amusement 2021 EC3 seminar, and that was a moment we wanted to have, and they did, you know, EC3 put together some matches, and it was Nick Wayne, who at the time was 16 or 17 maybe, and then Bodie, so that was 5 years ago, so he was 14, and everybody was raving, you know, about that. And we knew we kind of had that next young prodigy where he ended up taking the name. And I'll be honest with you, I was very, very protective and irritated a lot when Bodie would try to get other bookings and things like that, where we tried to protect him. You know, we put him in tag team matches with Sin Bodie, and we put him in with Remy Marcel, because the idea at 14, 15, you're wrestling with the big boys, but we don't want you to be killing yourself at such a young age. Yeah. And I hated when he was working these other places, because it was like, hey, we got the 14-year-old Bodie on our show, and he's going to get killed by their champ. And all it was a way to have that new hot prodigy young kid on our show. But it was like, you got to understand, and I tried to explain to him, like, hey, there's value in certain things. Like, yeah, when you got, and he got an opportunity, I remember, to work Allen Angels. I'm like, 100%. You know, that is a match that is only going to help you. But a lot of promoters, because he's a young kid, here's a few dollars, you know, you're going to take, hey, you know, I feel I'm worth something now. but they're not, but they're going to put you in with people that potentially could injure you or aren't good enough to be even in the ring with you. And you got to put them over. And that's just the way of the business. And I understand that, but it was always trying to be protective and make sure that he got the best opportunity. And I wasn't always sure that these other companies were going to do that. So I remember being irritated a lot.
Bodhi, you know, in thinking about that, and be honest about it, those conversations at that age, I mean, was that something that when you went into other places that you took into consideration, but you still felt, I mean, listen, you got some opportunities, especially when GCW started giving you some, you know, some tastes of their, you know, company. You know, was it hard for you to process that and go, okay, I understand what Joe's saying, but at the same time, this is what I feel and this is what I'm trying to do.
At first it was a bit hard to process only because I just wanted to wrestle. You know what I mean? There was a point in time when I was training all 7 days of the week and I know, right? Cause I just wanted to be in the ring. So me wanting to be in the ring had me a bit tunnel visioned and I didn't realize the big picture that what I have to offer shouldn't be spoiled. It shouldn't be used just to benefit others within reason. So, right. But over time I started to understand that, you know what I mean? Me being meme, it's something that it's a spectacle. So at first I was like, oh, I just want to wrestle, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm getting killed over here. But now, especially me being the FSW heavyweight champion, I think it'd be weird of me to say that I think the ring is sacred, but every time I step in that ring from now on, matter of fact, from ever since the year started, every time I step in the ring, it's go mode. It's something special. I don't play around anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think a lot of people have been noticing it in my matches. A lot of people ask, is BYP turning heel? And I just have to say, no, I'm just standing on business. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, as we talk about evolution, the evolution definitely shows here that now I am more cognizant and I take less risk.
Yeah. And that also, I got to say, one of the things that I think made the night perfect in terms of how, Joe, you set it up, and Bodhi, how you executed it, was the in-between after the ladder match. Your promo to Bateman was one of the most real things that a wrestler can hit in terms of raw emotion mixed with the character.
Mm-hmm.
If that moment would have been botched in any way, it could have potentially bought it down. But anyone who knows the process, when you saw that promo, you're like, holy shit, we know what's about to happen. And it evolved. It you went from, you know, in that moment, you went from cashing a case to that's the next champion, and we're going to see it within an hour and a half. And that was phenomenal, man. And that is something that, Joe, when you think about the potential of Bodhi now learning those skills and showing that character and bringing that mic up, man, I mean, now we're seeing limitless potential, right?
Well, I'm going to go behind the curtain a little bit. So as we opened the show, nobody made Ref Cody aware. The idea was to get everybody in the Battle Royal, and then we had the video. And I would fucking nuts. Let me tell you something. It was a debacle. Okay. So now there's a video playing with Matt being interviewed about the match, and between Bateman and Jay Vidal laying him out, these guys are now wrestling because the bell rang. I started screaming at the kid ringing the bell, like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, the referee told me to ring the bell. And it was like, it's Cody. And we have Cody and Romo. We have two of the best referees in the business that we are so lucky to have that. Right. How the fuck did Cody not be told? But with everything going on, Ice, Chris, me, we're running around doing stuff. We all probably thought, let's use that word, assumed that one of us told the referee. And now the bell rings and we're screaming, trying to get people. It's like, at least look at the screen. You've seen it before. Battle royals have stopped numerous times because there's a big thing happening. And it was like, nobody gave a crap. And it was like, even after Bodie won the match and made that announcement, like nobody was like, hey, what about Matt Vandergriff? Like, right. I'm not even sure anybody knows that Matt was like laid out. Like in that position, do we know Matt's not going to appear in the match? And it's funny because it reminds me of one other incident that we had. There was an issue where Cross was the champion and Kevin had a Lucha Underground commitment. And he was supposed to wrestle maybe Matt Hardy or something like that. But we had a setup to where we did an interim champion. So we ended up doing, because Paulie Cover was the evil commish, he gave the belt, and basically we did a match. And it was Kenny King versus Matt Hardy for the interim title. The winner would wrestle Cross at the next show. Somehow, some way, Matt Hardy was going to win the match. Kenny hits a move. The referee counts 1, 2, 3. Matt doesn't kick out. We're like, what the fuck is going on? And then Paulie, as the commissioner, started beating up the ref, pulled off his shirt. He pulled it on. We restarted the match. Matt Hardy won. And none of the fans were like, oh, Kenny King got screwed. They were just happy that Matt Hardy was the champ. And it was like the same thing here. When Bodie said, I'm going for the title in the main event, it was weird. Because, like, nobody remembered that Matt Vandergriff was challenging. So it kind of saved the thing that people were, like, really caring about Bodie winning. And having – and Matt, when he came out, people seemed to cheer for that. So that was cool. Yeah. But it was just a weird situation. And like I said, I was livid. And I had to scream at everybody.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, I literally didn't see a few matches. So I couldn't tell you. I heard the women's match was good. I heard the No Limits match was good. But yeah. Somebody was like, oh, what did you think? I'm like, well, there was only 3 good matches on the show, and Bodie was in 2 of them. So I guess he did pretty well for the night. Because I saw the whole cash in the case. I was in the, I was in the VIP suite for that one. And I liked the majority of that match. And then the heavyweight championship match. And the only other match that I saw that I really liked was G Sharp and Jay Vidal.
Sure. Yeah.
It was a big moment. And it was like, but Bodie stood up. You know, it's like, hey, let's give him that microphone. We all know he can wrestle. Now he's got to step up. And that's why it's interesting to me, because back in the day when he wrestled Danny Limelight, nobody's better on the mic. You know, Bodie stayed away from the mic a little bit on that. But now,
I did.
As the heavyweight champion, and a lot of people had. I remember when Limelight feud with Matt Vandergriff, and he ended up not doing the promo. It was like, hey, we need this promo. And all of a sudden he forgot. It was like, because you don't want to get blasted. But that's become maybe more so importance, you know, because look at our roster. Jay Vidal, Gregory Sharp, Bateman, Bodie. You can name 20 Shogun, Hero. There's a lot of people that could be our heavyweight champion, believe me. And there's no other company. I'll put that on there, that our company, especially a company that runs based off a promotion from running a school, there's nobody who has the talent that FSW has. So when we were discussing, you know, who's next, and the idea with the Bateman and the G-Sharp thing, you know, Bateman was always considered a transitional champion because he was the guy that, because of that storyline, he fit the mold and he needed to be sharp because of what we were doing with him and Jay Vidal. But it became, okay, who's that next baby face? And, you know, Shogun's been there, done that. What about Ice? What about Hero transitioning from the Nevada State? And what about Bodie? You know, and there was a few different options. And, you know, some of my inner circle, now that I have an inner circle of people who come in to discuss what they want to do, like, you know, Brett the Threat is now giving me 32 opponents he wants to wrestle over the next 3 weeks. But, you know, it's understandable. I get the excitement. I get the you know, the immense appreciation that guys are feeling for that. But we're trying to put stuff together. And, you know, July 4th, Bodie will be at the show. And the question is, right now, we don't have a number one contender for Bodie. So maybe we have a match to set up a number one contender, because we're right back July 25th at the HyperX. We need a marquee main event. So, you know, right now, other than appearing, not sure what we're going to do yet in that situation, because at the anniversary show, we got Brett the Threat, who's got something new. You know, Jaden Cole, you know, has dispatched both of his opponents.
Yeah.
And Zamaya is a new women's champion. So this is the truth. This should have been called Ground Zero, because we're starting right now. It's all fresh.
Yeah.
So now opportunities, Nick Xander, who's come back here, Son Lu, who just lost the Nevada State, a Shogun who had a shot at Bateman. And, you know, there's people everywhere that would love the opportunity to wrestle Bodie, because there's some people who think, oh, easy pickings.
Yeah, not anymore.
We know better.
Yeah, how do you respond to that? Because you know that this for as much as you've experienced throughout the last 3-4 years, there's always been a target on your back in the sense of, oh, that's the young kid, right? Oh, everyone's, you know, talking about Bodie. You know, we'll show him. Now it's like, you got something everyone wants, which is huge difference than just, you know, you're a kid. Now it's, oh shit, I got to defend this belt and I got to live up to the expectations that, you know, I've put myself in, because frankly, you are going to be a moving target and it's going to be fascinating to see, because there are so many guys who could come at you right now that I'm sure Joe's even going like, what do I even do?
I forgot about Luke Curtis. I believe he's the last guy who's beaten Bodie, but he's been out with a concussion for over a month.
Yeah. What is that pressure like, man?
When I was No Limits champion, I understood it. You know what I mean? As much as I wanted to deny it and be like, oh, but I'm the champion, I had to come to terms that I am the kid. I am a 16-year-old champion. It's going to be more difficult to prove to the roster that I can hold on to this title. But I think as we talk about Evolution, now it's different. Because, at least I'll say, I hope people can agree with me, I've stepped up my game in every single way, in every single aspect. So I think this title is different from the No Limits, that when I was No Limits champion, maybe I was the easy champion. But now that I'm the FSW heavyweight champion, you might have to pick a different champion to go for, because you see it in my matches, the increased physicality. I can fly more. I'm in the gym. I'm growing out a goatee. What does that tell you? So if people see me as the easy champion, I'll let them. But when they get in the ring with the walking, talking cheat code, that's not the case. And they're going to find that out pretty soon. So yes, there are a lot of people that want to face BYP. and I'll just say, bring them on, but steer clear.
Well, you know, here's a quick list. We got Duke, who defeated Bodie.
I learned my lesson.
Championship. That was last year, I believe.
Yes, it was.
We have Juicy back in the fold. We got a Bryce Saturn who tore it up with Bodie. Really like to see that match again.
Yep.
You got some big guys, like I said, with Duke and Juicy. We got Luke Curtis, who Bodie knows very well. Then I just got an email, and I'm trying to put it together. Jesse Funaki hit me up.
Oh, there we go.
You know, I'm aware of him, but not really aware of him. And he offered to get himself here. We'll just love an opportunity to work FSW. So I hit up Chris Bay, and I'm like, hey, what do you think of Funaki? He's like, you know, out of the second generation talents, he's definitely one of the top. If he wants to come out here, he goes, him and Bodie tearing it up. And that's why it's like, yeah, we have to set up for July 25th and possible number one contender. But if I can get Funaki out here for the 4th of July show, that's what I am currently working on. And again, I'm not going to bullshit nothing. I ain't going to make things up. But if, you know, he can get out here, you know, I'll get him the room. I'll get him a decent payday. But hey, you know, I didn't realize he works some TNA. He works for, you know, definitely a talented dude. So it's like at 19, I know Bodie wants to work every show he can. If he's around July 4th, yeah, that's great to be on the show, but he wants to prove, you know, he's a fighting champion. He's, you know, he's the FSW heavyweight champ. Line him up, you know, and I know. So it's like, most likely, especially on that 4th of July show, because it's probably going to be the biggest FSW arena show of the year, because I've already got, you know, half a front row. Can't really say sold out because it's free tickets. It's a $10 upgrade. So all our regulars for 10 bucks are going to come to that show unless they have major plans. But right now, everybody's hitting me up. Oh, we need, you know, put us down, put us down. You know, we're going to be turning people away for this one. So why wouldn't we spotlight our champion on there? So Jesse Funaki is an option for you there, buddy.
Sounds great. I mean, I've been preaching it a lot as of late to get in the ring with people that either are better than you or people that will teach you things. So, you know, I've worked guys like Duke where basically I have to run circles around him, and if I get caught, I'm going to sleep. But Jesse Funaki, for an example, he can go. He is quick. He's agile, just like myself. So that is definitely an interesting match that I'm curious how that's going to go, along with the crowd, when you have two young guys.
I'm going to email him right now while we're talking.
All right. I have no problem with that. Because when I won the heavyweight championship, the first thing I thought to myself is, what can I do to elevate this title? Because we talk about guys who held this title, Cross, Bay, Matt Hardy, Ice, Kenny King, literally, like, you can go down the list. Look at any major promotion on TV, and someone held the FSW Heavyweight Championship. So it puts a little bit of pressure on me, but I mean, BYP doesn't feel pressure. But I want to do everything I can to show that this title is truly prestigious. This might be the most important title on the West Coast, in the entire United States. So wrestling Jesse Funaki would be an honor. Wrestling Jesse Funaki would be something that turns heads. But, I mean, every BYP match is turning heads.
Who doesn't want to see Ice Williams versus Bodie? Who doesn't want to see Hammerstone?
You know, that was something I literally – like, I was just thinking about that the other day, that – Ice Williams, he obviously works within Lights, Camera, Faction, but Ice Williams is a franchise player. Ice Williams is one of the faces of FSW, and I have now submitted my legacy as the face of the company. And because you think about the Henderson Silver Knights, me and Ice team up, we had a little back and forth in there, but then we teamed up. you talk about the San Diego Seals and the LAX Rumble. We teamed up and
Brian
we both made
Cage
it to the final five.
Versus BYP, brother.
The names just keep on going that I've had these interactions with people. Not a match, just interactions. Or just I've wrestled Ice Williams in tag matches, in scrambles, never one-on-one. I've trained with Brian Cage. He eliminated me in the Rumble.
Yeah.
What would happen if we go one-on-one? And that's what I want to do with the FSW Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, I listen, there's one guy that stands out, that I think would be,
what about Killer Cross or Killer Cross's mentee, Stephen Gipke?
I mean, yeah. Stephen Gipke got a win at the Mecca. So what could that mean for his future? Cross highly puts him over. So if Cross is giving you the praise and I'm doing what I'm doing, great recipe.
But Bodie just gave me an idea. Back when I was younger, when I was a kid, George Foreman was on Y World of Sports. He was the heavyweight champion. This would be the exact opposite version. So George Foreman had to beat like five guys in the same night in a boxing match, but they were all tomato cans. Imagine we do a gauntlet match with Bodie versus Juicy, Duke, Bryce Saturn, Ice Williams, and Hammerstone.
You know what? Line them up, knock them down. Yes, sir.
I would love to see TJP and Bodie.
TJP. Yep. He's our trainer now. I know, but you know they are TJBYP.
Right.
Very successful. Yeah. You know, undefeated tag team in FSW.
Right.
They're like number one contenders for the tag titles too.
Maybe.
How about Jaden Cole wants to do option B, put the No Limits title, the two young guys.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about FSW, the endless options, people of ranging experiences, ranging television time. That gauntlet might gives me a little bit of chills, but
you know, I don't have to book anybody else. That'll be the whole show.
Cross is the sixth and final entrant.
There you go. Surprise entry after you beat Hammerstone. You know, I saw, I was looking at the ending of the show. And I saw your good friend, your pal, Nick Zander, didn't seem to be that excited for you.
Did see that. And that's interesting because, I did beat Nick Zander to qualify
great
for the Cash in Case ladder
match. It was the match of the night.
Yeah.
And after that match, I tried to check on Nick Zander and he brushed me off. So, It's tough because a lot of my opponents have been friends of mine. Me and Jaden Cole fought for the Future Legends Championship, and I had to do what I had to do and beat Jaden Cole. So I beat Nick Zander, and I can understand why he's not happy for me. But considering I've known him for 6 years now, I was there to ensure that he became the Rookie of the Year. Yeah. We've traveled together. We've faced each other in other promotions.
12th birthday party. Come on.
He was there for my bar mitzvah. So he's currently upset, and I tried to talk to him, but he hasn't gotten back to me. I understand it, but also I don't, because friends are supposed to be there for their friends. So if I see Nick Zander down the line, I'm going to do what I have to do, but I need to know where he's coming from.
Well, maybe he's disappointed after it looked like he was going to win the Battle Royal for that final spot. Of all people, the Jester.
Yes,
shocking the world. Jester. The Jester got into the Battle Royal. Like, I think Nick Zander, and you got to blame him, because I think when he threw out Mondo, he pretty much thought he won the match.
Yep, correct.
And, little trickery I saw from the Asylum as they stayed there and they were basically the bridge, kind of like, Jester, of course, has none of the athleticism of Kofi Kingston, so he couldn't have levitated, but he basically robbed Nick Zander of the win. Nick Zander won the match if the Asylum wasn't still at ringside.
Right.
Yeah, and so, congrats to the Jester. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Nick Zander almost beat you. You know, we're going to call him almost Nick Zander, you know, because, you know, I could see the fact that, wow, I had Bodhi beat. Oh, you know, could have went either way. That's my spot. So, right. You know, obviously opportunities are there. And a guy like Nick, who was gone for a while, and he's kind of come back. And guys like Bodhi were the first to be like, man, you know, excited that Nick was coming back at No Escape for the scramble match.
Yeah.
You know, we yeah. needed a guy. Yeah. And
you know, and speaking of people who, if we are honest about it, even though Matt came out and made sure that there was no interference in that match, Matt did not get his title shot that night.
He did not. But Matt demanded on July 25th a one-on-one with Jay Vidal.
Sure.
And we know Bodhi and Matt, they've had some classics themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, in this world of 2026, it really doesn't matter, babyface, heel, good guy, bad guy. It's the heavyweight title. The idea is to have the best matches possible. Yep. Right now, off the top of my head, I could make a list of probably 15 to 20 people that FSW utilizes that it'd be like, oh, yeah, Matt and Bodhi. Oh, that'd be great. Hammerstone and Bodhi. Oh, Brian Cage and Bodhi. Ice and Bodhi.
Right.
Saturn and Bodhi. Bateman and a rematch. Jay Vidal and Bodhi.
Yeah.
They've had their runs. Danny Limelight and Bodhi.
Yep.
And, you know, Luke Curtis and Bodhi.
And let's not forget, too, I do remember over a year ago there was at the Chris Bay show. I remember MK getting gored through a door because of Bodhi, essentially. So I wouldn't be surprised if MK has that whole army just gunning for you, man.
Yeah, I've gotten some inklings that maybe before Survival of the Fittest, but MK's very close friend, Sam Adonis, is looking to return to FSW.
Damn.
All righty.
That'd be a nice match, too.
So, you know, it's funny because yesterday I got hit up Matthias, who I like. You know, he did the stuff in San Diego, very talented. And he was, and, you know, I had told him, I'm like, we can't really do anything until after the, you know, anniversaries. And, you know, he sends me a message. Hey, bro, really love to come back. And it's like, it's understandable, but it's like, dude, it just isn't that easy. There's so much going on. It's so hard because, okay, it's like, who are all these people that are available? And it's like, okay, so I got Bodhi. I got Brett the Threat. I got Jaden Cole. I got Veronica Haven. That's four matches already that I have to have unless a champion's wrestling another champion, which isn't the plan right now. You know, I talked with Ice Williams. He's going to be on the show. We actually booked the first match. It's going to be a six-man tag, and it's going to be Lights, Camera, Faction versus the Asylum. So they're stepping up and getting a great opportunity.
Nice.
And, you know, the Mariachis said they're available. They'd hit me up. Because, again, it's 4th of July. I understand there's a lot of stuff going on, and this is a special show. It's pretty much a 75% free show because if everybody from the HyperX comes to the FSW arena and takes their free general admission ticket, we will be having about 100 people in the entryway because we had almost 400 people at the anniversary show.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, going into that week, I thought, man, we're looking a little light for the anniversary show. And then all of a sudden, shoom, in between the wrestlers and guys like Bodie and C4 and AJ Avon, and of course Dave Mazzani, you know, selling 8 front row and 25 general admissions, 33, we got to over 400 people.
Yeah.
Now, I said it's free admission. So we may have to take the ring, since it's at 5 o'clock, and put it in the alley and let everybody stand around the alley and watch the show.
Have a fight club?
There you go. That would be Brett the Threat's group. So.
Well, I mean, Bodie, you know, give you an opportunity to grill up some hot dogs and hamburgers too.
And that's what we're working on too. So, yeah. You know.
You know, when you think about that and all these potential opportunities and all the opportunities you've been getting, especially like a guy like Leo Rush, right? Where do you see, like, if there's someone right now that you're looking around and you're going, okay, you know, whether it's someone that you've come across on another, you know, another show that you've done, or buzz from what you've seen in the independents out, not only West, but, you know, around the country. Is there someone that has your attention where you're like, Joe, if we were able to do this match, this would be something I would be very interested in doing.
Mm-hmm. Funny enough, I wrote a list.
Oh, I know Joe. As a wisdom.
I know Joe loves his list.
I love lists.
Of 30 wrestlers on a list. Here's the way I look at it. Because, of course, I would be more than willing to do a match that, regardless of how it goes in the ring, it's a match that turns heads, that gets people watching. Me and Leo Rush, people turned heads not only because of the two guys in the match, but because they knew both guys can go crazy. So as much as I'm willing to have a match with someone that might not be like you consider the best technician, but it's a match that sells tickets. So that's something I also had to take into account. But also,
I heard Beans was on top of your list.
he did help Ice Williams help Bryce Saturn get off the ladder to help me win.
So
when I think about opponents that I want to face, not only do I think can it sell tickets as I look at on a flyer, but is it someone that inspires me? Because sure. I like being inspired. I like, you know, because I'll go to training every now and then, and I'll just kind of just sit there and just be like, was it worth me coming here and sweating for 3 hours? Because I want to be inspired. That's why I enjoy working with guys like Chris Bay and Jaden Cole and all of those, because they inspire me. So looking at this list, because a lot of the names we have already discussed, I wrote down TJP because trainer, student, that's always something that inspires me to show my trainer that this wasn't all a waste. I already wrote down Jay Vidal and Ice Williams. I wrote down Cage. Maybe some interesting names that – actually, before that, I wrote down Marcus Mathers.
Oh, yeah.
Same case where we've met in a Fatal 4-Way, never in a singles match. But who knows what could happen in that match. I already wrote down Bryce Saturn. I wrote down Gabe Rocha. We met in a triple threat, and he Germaned me without me even knowing it was happening. He got behind me, and next thing you know, I'm in the air. some names I wrote down: Brody Lee Jr.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chris Bay.
Yeah, Chris Bay knows him very well. So
we both are BYPs. I'm Bodie Young Prodigy, and he's Brody Young Prodigy. So. Yeah. That's something that, like a Jesse Funaki, even though Jesse Funaki hasn't been wrestling for quite that long, that's a match that turns heads.
I'm going to interrupt you quickly. You better not do Brody Lee Jr. at GCW before we get the chance, all right?
Yeah, no shit.
All right. I don't think GCW likes me enough to do that match.
I know Brett likes you.
Yeah.
I hope, because I'm going there this weekend, so I hope he likes me.
Yeah. I'm going to have to put in the word. Hey, Brett, you know, Bodie's my champ now. Could we not get him, like, hung by Manders?
Mance Warner.
Or Mance Warner, whoever it was. I was like, oh.
Yeah, he had the bull rope and literally threw me over with the noose.
Wow, that was
yeah. I'm lucky to still be here today.
Yes.
I wrote down guys that live in Vegas, like Fabian Eichner lives on the West Coast. Yep. You know, me and him have got some training in. Joe, I don't know if this person spoke to you, but I got a message from a Zoe Serrano saying that if Joe is interested, that we can run it one day.
How about that, Joe?
That is definitely an interesting possibility because, you know, Zoe's no had really good matches. Huh?
I'm no Vinny Wasco.
Zoe and Matt Vandegrift was excellent. Zoe and Jay Vidal was excellent. So, you know, Zoe's in a different class. You know, there's really, really good women wrestlers that I'm not ever against the intergender matches, but I feel they need to make sense.
Of course, yes.
No offense, but Maserati versus Brian Cage is not something I'd want to see. But, you know, Bodie and Zoe would be great.
Yep. And then, because a lot of the names I wrote down, some just live on the West Coast. Some live in Vegas. I wrote down some unrealistic names. Like, I'm a big fan of Michael Oku in the UK.
Yeah.
Same thing with a Joe Lando. I wrote down R.I.P. Jarrell Nelson because he's not around anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Yeah. I wrote down Royce. Royce commented on one of my Instagram posts.
I've been talking with Royce. I know he's interested in working with Brett the Threat. So
he commented on one of my Instagram posts once saying, I want to wrestle you. And I'm like, as long as I inherit the 1% if I win.
Yeah. Well, actually, I own the 1% name. So,
Boy, here we go.
If I beat Royce, can I be the 1%?
Yeah.
Speaking of, there's guys who come around here because they have the lineage and history, but I would love to see a guy like Tito and Bodie. Shit, man.
Yeah, I encountered him and Che in the Rumble, and even just getting stomped out in the corner, I'm like, oh man, if this ever turned into a match. Shit. And yeah, that's something that I love about pro wrestling, that just one way or another, you are going to like be in the same presence or the same ring. Like the other night I was at Championship Wrestling and both Tito and Che were there. Che's a very nice guy, but Che can throw me around just as easy as Duke did. Yeah. So yeah, shit. Like that's something that I definitely thought about when I won the heavyweight championship, that I'm going to be eventually facing guys that not only are bigger than me, but guys that are more well-known than me. So I need to show everyone that me being champion is not a fluke. You know what I mean? I gotta basically pick up the slack, if there even is any, because I am the person to be an FSW, the FSW heavyweight champion. So when I'm at training, am I showing everyone like how to properly do things? Sure. Is my social media on point? Are my matches on point? Am I doing what a champion should be doing? So when you mention a Tito, I need to show Tito, and I, in that case, show everyone that it's not like, oh, you know, you got to give Bodie the win just because he's the champ. It's, Bodie can win that match.
Right. And I think, and a big part of that too is, you know, you're going to have a target in general on your back for a little bit because you are in that transitioning ages, right? You're going from one body type and one, you know, thought of as a young kid, and now you are delivering as a pro, right? And so going in with guys like that, Hammerstone, Tito, you're talking about guys who are, they're laying it in, man. There's no bullshit there, right? So that's the cool thing about this, is that you're about to prove that it's like, hey, man, snug, good, I can work, let's do this, because I'm not just 450 flipping onto a fucking mat here. I'm fucking literally like, let's go. Let's fucking do this. And yeah. I think that's the exciting thing, man.
Hey, the language. We got a kid here, you know what I mean?
Man, I'm a grown man now. But I definitely agree with what you're saying, because I mean, not everyone likes snug as a bug in a rug, but I think something I personally like about that is that it makes me earn it. Like, for an example, Danny Limelight, me and him were going back and forth for 6 months straight before we had our No Limits Championship match. And every time we were in the ring, he would beat the living hell out of me. Like, I remember one time he gave me those chest kicks, and the next thing you know, I have a muscle knot in my chest. You know what I mean? So, but also, would I be your No Limits champion if I didn't have to go through the ringer by Limelight? Because if Limelight took it easy on me, I wouldn't understand what it means to be a champion. So same thing with Bateman the other night. Bateman is not for the weak. You know what I mean? But also, when I'm getting completely hit in the face, I'm laying on that ground thinking to myself, like, yeah, that wasn't comfy, but also that gives me every right to get up, fight back. And I think that's what made my No Limits Championship wins and my FSW Heavyweight Championship win mean a whole lot more, because I got put through the ringer. I got fall away slammed through a ladder by Duke, not even an hour earlier.
That looked really good from up in the VIP suite. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I hadn't taken a bump on a ladder that entire match. And of course, at the end of the match, Duke. So that's something I think about a lot, where I think me getting hit is vital to me becoming the walking, talking cheat code.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bad news. Jesse Funaki is not available July 4th.
Joe.
But we're working on it. Don't worry. But again, that's a week away. You know what I mean? Yeah, so
of course.
But I figured I would take the shot and see. So we'll figure something
next
out.
Next thing you know, he does a run-in on the July 25th show, and they're like, maybe, who's that guy?
Yeah. Yeah, fly in, do a run-in, and then fly in again to Roker match. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Joe, when you're looking at this now, like you said, it's kind of ground zero. It's kind of a reset now, because you're looking around and you've got Mariachi's, of course, retained, but you know, it's still young blood with them, and then you've got now Brett with the Nevada State, and Jaden with the No Limits, and Samaya with the Women's Championship. You have Jeffrey Excellence with the
shout future. Out Jeffrey Excellence,
yeah, yes,
the new Future Shock champion, and then we have Future Shock July 11th. So there's definitely going to be some people vying for the opportunity. And again, even with Future Shock, that's how deep the roster is. We can go there and Oliver could get a rematch. Gabe Brokaw's tremendous. You know, Davion almost had him beat. You know, the Brandon G, C4, Ricky Tenacious. So, and a Matthias. You got a lot of those guys from out of state who are usually higher level than the Future Shock guys, but that's the only opportunity they're going to get. So they're all trying to at least get on Future Shock. And that's how guys like Class, and there's a guy for Bodhi, you know, Kevin Reno's gone. Class is throwing his hat in the ring, former Nevada State champion. So, you know, there's so many guys available, and Zoe may want a shot at the FSW Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that's something I actually want to point out. A lot of people won't give it credit, but the Future Shock roster is way deeper than we think, because a lot of these guys we have put on the main shows, and they have excelled, like a Jester. You know what I mean? Jester is a Future Shock native, and he ends up in a ladder match with former No Limits champions, future heavyweight champions, former tag champs, the Pain Train, no introduction needed. And Jester excelled. Unfortunately, he got a ladder drop kicked into his face, and now he's talking about his head hurts and something about his brain. But still, the Jester came into that match after just going through a grueling battle royal. Battle royals are more grueling than you think. Yep. And he was hanging. He dropped Dante King spine first on the edge of the ladder. I was sitting like 5 feet away, like, so,
well, yeah, battle royals are tough when somebody's doing snap suplexes from the second rope.
But yeah, the Future Shock roster is more deep than you think, especially in Oliver Kennedy, who's making all these news appearances.
We've kind of it's been built into about its own show because with the family and friends that are coming out to support, man, some of our best crowds are at Future Shock. And I'll tell you what, some of the best crowd responses is on Future Shock because a lot of these fans, they're just being introduced to wrestling. They don't really know it. They're fans that maybe caught some stuff. The older ones are like, yeah, we know Hulk Hogan and The Rock and stuff like that. And they see it up close and personal. And then there's a good chance a lot of these people end up buying tickets for the regular shows because they actually become fans of it.
Right. Future Shock, July 11th. Okay.
Yeah. And that's and that's one thing I think, Bodhi, that you've been good at doing. Matt would do it. You've seen guys like Watson and Sharp. And that is, giving some of these guys on Future Shock that opportunity to wrestle you guys, which
for sure, especially with the Future Legends Championship. Even though that's not an FSW title or a Future Shock title, it's just a United States title. I mean, if I take it out of the country, but that's a title that basically if you're younger than 25, you can compete for it. So I faced Sean Logan, who that was in Chicago. I faced Oliver Kennedy, Jaden Cole, Muldoon. I faced RJ Wild. And I don't know if this is common knowledge or not, but I was hearing murmurs at the anniversary show that potentially there's a Team Future Shock at Survival of the Fittest. And as we were just talking about how talented some of these guys are, you could potentially see me in the ring against a Xility Josh. You know what I mean? Sure. Who does a spiral tap? I don't even do spiral taps. You know?
There's definitely a good opportunity for a Team Future Shock, but I think Bodhi will be doing his own thing, Survival of the Fittest. But one way or another,
I'll meet these guys down the road.
Yeah, let them earn that spot.
Exactly.
Just like Bodhi had to do.
Yeah, well, that's the lesson here. The overall lesson is, you've put out the blueprint for, potential. The next 5-10 years of guys who want to just like Chris Bay did for you, I mean, Chris Bay really set that blueprint for you.
I have the Chris Bay shirt on right now.
See? Yeah. And I think that's the lineage, right? That's what we're looking at. And that's the exciting thing right now is that, there's a guy who's probably, if they're not there yet, they're a year away or something, that's going to follow that same lineage and do the same thing you guys did, because you guys are setting the example and setting that blueprint. And that's
we have a couple now. Louis's just 16, and Louis's been working a lot of the Future Shocks. He got to be in the battle royal,
the Young Guns.
Dad's like 15 and he's getting to be in the adult class because he's progressed enough that we feel it's okay to give them an opportunity. And Josh is young and Kevin is young. And we got a lot of people under 20 years of age. Most people don't realize Demir is like 21, right? I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's dumb, and but he's still, talented.
Yep. And as you mentioned, you never know, in 1 year, 2 years, less than 5 years, one of these guys that we're talking about now could be in some either close to or the current position that I am in because of just hard work alone. Like, for example, a C4, you know what I mean? Yeah. C4 sold tickets. C4 was explosive. C4 threw people head over heels. And it's no wonder why we have C4 on the HyperX Arena shows now. Yeah. We had the Asylum semi-main event. Was it the first HyperX Arena show? Or
I believe the second one.
Second one.
Yes. We had the Asylum semi-main event, a HyperX Arena show, because of the hard work.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it just goes to show, again, you know, Joe, you've said it time and time again, you know, show up, do what you're asked to do, make face, and, you know, get to class, and you will eventually get those opportunities.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, everybody wants to blame me or blame things for it, but Bodie knows when he's in class, he sees who puts in the work. You know, when you're at levels at like Bodie and Ice, and they're there more than you, that means you probably don't have that passion and you don't have that desire, because it's like, wow, when I wanted to try to really get on shows, man, I was there as often as I can be. And I barely see those guys. You know, we talk about setups and breakdowns, and Bodie, you know, knows where he came from. But, you know, if Bodie passes on a setup, nobody's going to give him grief. But when he's able to make it, he's there. Jaden Cole's there to do it. You know, why are certain people that are barely on shows never there? And then act like it's my fault that they aren't in a certain situation or position that they feel that they're deserving of. And it's like, man, you want to make it easy. Go ask a peer, go ask an Ice Williams, go ask a Chris Bay, go ask a Bodie, go ask, you know, the faction, and they'll be the ones who tell you the same thing that I would be telling you. But when I tell you, I'm an asshole. When they tell you, it's constructive criticism.
Yep. And that's been tough, because I have spoken to a few people about, like, what can they do? And they have a lot of things going on in their day to day. And I'm like, that is very tough. But also, if you want this to be your life, you have to make some sacrifices. And obviously there's certain things you can't escape, or there's certain things you just can't, you know what I mean? Work is just a pain in the ass. But a lot of this requires sacrifice, and especially in training, because as of late, you know, I train a little bit less. I try to bump a little bit less, but because I was just week in and week out, multiple times a week, just going in there and just fighting tooth and nail, just because I wanted to get better at my craft. So nowadays it's obviously there's more avenues, but it's, if you want to make it, you have to show that you're willing to get your hands dirty to do it.
Yeah. And then you get
rewarded. And then guys like Ice Williams, who now are in that inner circle, and when they have ideas, or when I'm thinking about where we're looking to go. And, you know, I think one of the first conversations may have been Ice about positioning Bodie as a future heavyweight champion, as we're discussing things. You know, there's a small group that have been with me, and the longer you're with me, you earn my trust. I'm not going to listen. You know, there's certain people that, you know, they're good and they've held championships, but they still questioned. And it's like, well, why does he and not me? And it's like, because you're never around. You only care about yourself. That's cool that you're going to show up at Channel 8 at 4 in the morning, because you're going to be on TV. And we do need people there. So we appreciate you being there. But when we need something that there isn't a spotlight for you on, you're never around to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy if you are, you know, the skill level of Cross compared to some guy just breaking in. Sure, that you're going to get the spot over somebody. But if you're close to equal value with that person, the person who goes out of their way and makes themselves available to us. Again, a lot of times there's three spots and there's seven people and there's seven qualified people. So why would I give it to the person who never shows up to help over the over a Jeffrey Excellence, who generally is always around to help? Hey, we got to set up for a different show. So there's no benefit of FSW, but you're still being helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So as we kind of look here to wrap up, you know, what are your thoughts now, Bodhi? Like, you know, this, one of the fascinating things, go back and watch the match and you'll see something that you did that you didn't, I don't think you even realized. Right before you went to cover, it hits you that you're about to pin him. And mm-hmm. you could see that in your face. Like, that moment hit you right before you covered him. And it was just like, holy shit, there's the realization that it's actually happening. And it was like, that was fucking just brilliant. And again, you know, the fans don't see that. But when you're looking through certain eyes and you know what that means to that person at that moment, that was incredible.
Yeah, when I hit the 450, or as I like to call it, the 4-5 bow, I blink, you know, and the 450, contrary to what people think, it hurts to hit it.
Yeah.
Even though I'm doing it and I can do it often, it hurts to do it. So when I do it, I blink, and sometimes I don't know if I landed on a person or if I completely missed the person. Or right. if they moved out of the way and there's no pool in the water. Right. So I hit that 450. I pop up. I'm like, oh man, my ribs. And I look and Bateman is a corpse. And I'm like, I did it. And the last person to kick out of a 450 was like 4 years ago when I was barely 130 pounds.
Right.
So no one has kicked out of the 450 in quite some time. And even when people could kick out of the 450, I think I could count it on my hand of people that kicked out of it. So when I hit it, I was like, it's over. When I flipped him over, I'm like, is someone going to kick out of the 450? Or did I just seal the deal? Especially when I hit the most sought after aerodynamic glass shattering move in all of pro wrestling, the Bipper Dipper. And I yanked Bateman off of the Tree of Woe. I was like, he's in the splash zone. And some people get up, others don't. Like in Nick Zander, for an example, he tried to get up, but he just couldn't muster up the strength, and it was 4-5 boom. So I watch all of my matches back so many times. I think I watched me and Bateman 5 times already. And every time I watch it as a wrestler, I watch it as a fan, I watch it as a promoter. And every time I notice certain things and I'm like, I did it. Just those three words, I did it. And I did a few interviews backstage after the show. And there's always two sides to me when it comes to how I feel, because there's a side of me that's grateful for all the opportunities and grateful to be in this position and excited to bring in the future and the future stars of wrestling. But also there's a side of me that says, I did it. I worked for it. I did it. I am the blueprint. I did it and knew.
Yeah. Joe, final thoughts. Does this rank up there with when you saw Chris Bay, when you saw Hammerstone, when you saw Cross? You know, win these championships, even, you know, Ice and Greg Sharp. I mean, you know, how does this stack up with all these guys who have come so far and finally get to that peak?
You know, it's always a special moment, especially Bodhi. You know, he was in our kids' class. He was 8 years old, 9 years old, you know, for 3-4 years. I only saw him in the kids' class, you know, and then I always remember the mom was like, it's probably 4 or 5 years of doing it. And it's like, it's fun, but, you know, he's done everything in it. Is there any way we can, you know, see if he could be in the adult class? And if I remember correctly, I think it was like, what we said, you could do like 1 day a week. and you started from there, and then you progressed. But everybody who kind of started with us, and especially with me, I see the growth. Obviously, his was the longest. You know, only Gregory Sharp took longer to win the heavyweight championship from training. It probably took him 12 years. You know, he was 19 when he started, and he finally won the title, you know. But when it, whether it's Bodie, whether it was Hammerstone, it was like you see people how hard they worked and how much better they become and work for it. And after a while, you realize who's going to be that guy. Because the great thing about wrestling is you don't have to be a 300-pound monster. And yet that's the only chance you have to be the heavyweight champion. We've had Chris Bay, who walked through my doors at 5'6" and 150 pounds. You know, when Bodie started, he was barely 50 pounds. You know what I mean? So, you know, watching that happen is always, you know, a great moment. Because in most cases, the guys who won the FSW heavyweight championship, even if they came from somewhere else, they're FSW guys. Yeah. They're FSW women. The talent that we have, you know, it's special. Like I said, Bodie has a lot to live up to as the FSW heavyweight champion. So many of our talent has gone on to, you know, bigger and better things. And as much as I like to put over FSW, yeah, we understand, you know, being the TNA champion or being an AEW champion, WWE, that's the ultimate goal in wrestling. So Bodie is, I believe this is Bodie's first company championship. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, because there's been like singles titles, and but this is definitely the first title I've won that says
the main title.
The number one. The main. Yes. This is my first main title of a company.
Yeah. So don't be losing it on the fourth already. You know what I mean?
That's if I even
we don't, want Tom to count you out because you didn't kick out in time.
That's a different story.
Oh no. Oh man. All right, Bodie, thank you for joining us. Joe, again, always a pleasure. And remember, July 4th
is coming up. Thank you for having
me. Yeah, of course. 5 p.m.
Tell your mom, free ticket.
Yep.
There you go.
I'm already sending out the text.
There you go.
There we go.
All righty. July 4th. See you guys there.
There we go. See you on July 4th. And we'll see everyone out there. Until next week, everyone, happy wrestling.